May what is spoken and what is heard be both spoken and heard. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
What's in a name? Maybe most of the time we take our names for granted, but once in a while, life's event highlights the importance of our identity through our name. This might happen, for example, if you got married. Maybe one of the partners will drop their last name, we know which one that usually would be, implying that they have left their family of origin and joined a new family with their spouse. Sometimes both names will be hyphenated, implying the importance of both family histories and connections, which will be passed on to future generations. In St. Louis, as a newly published book has just made really clear, the name Bush means something. Can you imagine suddenly taking on that name? With a name comes family history, connections, reputation, in other words, our identity, things that at one time we thought no one could ever take from us. But now we know that identity can be stolen. In a moment, someone else can claim and misuse all those things. Today's gospel story might be seen as a case of identity theft. Jesus goes to the land of the Gerasenes, where he encounters a demoniac, a man who is out of his right mind, thought to be taken over by some foreign spirit who will make him say and do things he would not willfully do. Luke tells us that so afraid were the townspeople that they kept him chained up outside the village and guarded him day and night. And even then he escaped sometimes. He had lost his home, his friends, comforts. When Jesus asks his name, he answers, Legion. Legion has a dual meaning. Legion, indicating many thousands. And Legion, the hated name of the occupying army of Romans. That wasn't really his name. The poor fellow can no longer identify himself by family, clan, or relationship. Apparently, only those alien voices speak for him. His personal identity has disappeared, been stolen by that terrible thing which has taken over his life. But we're told everything changes when he encounters Jesus. In this brief interchange, the man is liberated from the legions which had taken over his life and freed to be himself again, to find his voice, his purpose, his true identity, which I will call child of God. Everyone is amazed to find him in his right mind, Luke says. You might say identity theft avenged. Those evil forces which had taken over him and directed his behavior and spoke as though him totally lost their power over him. On one level, this is a story of a man lost to himself, controlled by something external to him. We can't say exactly what possessed this man in our modern terms. Perhaps some kind of grief, distress, epilepsy, mental illness. But we can ask what kinds of things threaten to possess us today. What can overshadow, obscure, steal our true identity? I'm sure it's no big news to anyone that we can lose our sense of identity to any addiction, to a substance, to work, to sport, to gambling, many things. AA and NA and OEA and SAA have made it clear that the first step to becoming free from those addictions is to acknowledge dependence on a higher power. But there are other ways to lose ourselves. Any external part of our lives could consume our heart and mind to the degree that we don't know who we are apart from that. Some of the things might seem positive at first, like our work, or our style, our social status, our wealth, our grade point average. Who are you? We ask one another. And so often we say, banker, priest, social worker, doctor, lawyer, student, builder, caretaker, cheerleader, and on and on. That might serve us well if at a particular time we have something going that we are proud to make our identity. We might love to be called Reverend or Doctor or Mrs. We might love to have the director sign on our door. Might be proud to say we worked 78 hours last week. We were so needed. We might be proud of our lifestyle or our ability to create wealth. Maybe we get absorbed in golf or watching TV. We can simply get caught up, and who doesn't occasionally, in the sorry emotions of anxiety, doubt, self-pity, greed, envy, or anger. If we get too caught up in any of these titles, activities, emotions, to the degree that they take over our lives, we can lose a sense of who we are as a person. And we can surrender the ability to make choices as surely and completely as any alcoholic hitting the bottom. We can become addicted, not in our right mind. We might even say possessed. Like that poor man in the story, we can lose a sense of who we are so that relationships with one another, family, and God suffer, and we don't even know ourselves. Even if we don't want to define ourselves by externals, it is sometimes very hard to shake off the expectations of our families, ourselves, and others. We don't really need to define ourselves or be overrun by an external identity, because we all have one identity that is better than any of those. Child of God. Whoever you are, whatever is binding you, whatever your ambitions, successes, or failures in life, you are first and foremost God's own. Look at the story of Elijah today. He was at the end of his rope. He was supposed to bring the people of Israel back to God. That was his job as a prophet. And he totally failed. The Israelites had torn down all the altars to Yahweh, killed all the prophets except him with a sword, and now they were after him, and he just goes and hides and says to God, okay, just take me now. And still God reaches to him and says, what are you doing here? Get up and go. In the story from Luke, a brief encounter with God and Jesus brought the man back to himself. All that other stuff left him, just drained away, and he was back in his right mind. One of the reasons it is important to be together here for the Eucharist every week is that it sets aside a time for an ever so brief encounter with God, which can help us to shed whatever alien, possessive, hostile thoughts or actions or circumstances threaten to consume our hearts and minds. Sometimes that happens more profoundly than others. Sometimes you may go for weeks and not really feel you have an experience of God, and then suddenly, in a word, in a piece of music, in the Eucharist, when you receive, You just feel that close to God. But each week we put ourselves in a position to let that restoration and redemption happen. Today at the 10 o'clock service, we baptize two precious little babies, Patrick and Cole. We name them officially in the name their parents have given them and say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." Marking and saying what is already true, we claim their identity, child of God, forever, and nothing can ever change that at the core. As we join with the baptismal families and candidates in the renewal of our own baptismal vows, we claim that status for ourselves again. You also are God's own forever. Whatever else would try to take over that role of telling you who you are, send it out into the swine and let it be dumped over the cliff. I invite you, when you come to communion today, to be very aware of your open hands and open heart. I invite you to be very aware of whatever would block you from realizing your God-given personhood. Any alien voices or thoughts or anything binding you. And ask that you be totally released from that and feel free to be your true self again. We can be as vigorous about reclaiming our true identity of our personhood as we can of our bank accounts. And this is a chance to do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.